turn your Bibles, will, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And continue on here with our study of this book. I don't want it to be, I trust it's not tedious to you, but that we see the content of these scriptures, and the Lord help us to understand them. The Lord might help us to place the context and the order of these things in our hearts and our minds. We might, as we go on forward and have a necessity or occasion that we need to reference them, and the Lord would take these passages we'd be filled with them and understanding about the great thing that the Lord has done for us in the church, in saving us, in calling us, and putting us in His church. And we want to remember that this particular chapter, chapter 3, it's at the beginning of that, the first verse, he says, "For this cause I, Paul," okay, the habitation, holy temple, the foundations of the church, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone in chapter 2, this household, this work that the Lord's done in creating His church, the place that He's made for His people in this age to worship Him and to serve Him in, the great commission that He's given unto His institution, the church, His bride, that one that He is espoused unto, and that He has saved us and loved us with an everlasting love, and as we mentioned this morning, having foreknown us, having predestinated us to these things, He has blessed us in that. And so He, because of these things, He goes and He speaks of the stewardship that He has for the Gentiles, this stewardship, this administration given unto Him in chapter 3, verse number 2, the revelation of Christ in Him as He spoke even to the church, the churches of Galatia, about that, the mystery of Christ, that the Christ and the working of the Lord is not only, that working is not only reserved for just His nation, just His people, but also for the Gentiles. He's brought it down here to us. We saw last time about, or time before last, about how this was a gift. He counted this ministry a great gift of God, not a burden, not a load in the sense of being obliged to do this, but it's a blessing. And of course, it cost Him much in the flesh. And as we in our study of the book of study of the book of Galatians, He tells about that and refers to that at the end of that book about those marks that He bears in His flesh for the sake of Christ. But this gift given, we saw last time that we looked into this about the humility that He had in service and how in that humility the Lord used this man to do great things. And so, in the calling of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord upon us, if the Lord uses us into some capacity that has much much exposure, as the Apostle Paul is being used, what the entire account of the Scriptures, of the New Testament Scriptures, what? From Romans to 2 Thessalonians, this man was used of God to write. Okay, he has much exposure. He has seen much and used much of the Lord. Well, that's all the working of God in him, and it came because of great humility and willingness to serve and be used up of the Lord. We saw that last time. We want to pick it up in verse 9, and we want to finish out the chapter this afternoon with the Lord's help to see about the thing that he wraps up this chapter about, okay? Because it starts off, "For this cause," in verse number 1. "For this cause, I, Paul," I'm telling you about what the Lord has done for us. And saving us, putting us in the church, calling me to this ministry, what's it all about? Okay, verse 9. "And to make all see," okay, I dropped out "men," okay, that's there, put there by the translators to help us understand better. Sometimes they help us, sometimes they don't, okay? To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, that communion, that fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The Lord has had that hidden, but He has revealed it and revealed it and revealed it through His prophets, through His apostles, through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, rather, and then through the apostles in His church, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Is that talking about the church knowing those things? Or is that talking about those principalities and those powers knowing those things by the church? Okay, you see? Let's read that again. Okay, let's check that out again. To the intent, this is the reason, that now under the principalities and powers, church at Ephesus, you're in this. I'm writing to you about this. Understand your place in the calling and work of God in this, to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Who's given the commission to preach and to baptize and to teach to observe all things? It's not right. It's not the Knights of Columbus, is it? No, it's not the Kiwanis. It's not the Lions Club. It's not any government organization. It's the Lord's church. We are involved in the revealing, the preaching, the proclaiming, the opening up of the mystery of the Lord unto mankind. Unto men, women, boys, and girls, no matter what nationality, of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, about the token of identifying themselves with that death, that burial and that resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ by baptism, and thereby enjoying the Lord's church to serve Him, to do it all again. Amen. As they were reached, they are used of the Lord in the church to reach others. It's a mystery. It's a working. How can something like this, so very simple, work? It does, doesn't it? Right? The secular world, the religious world says, little old church over there in Logan County, you can't do anything for the Lord. Huh? That's not what the Lord said. Amen? It's not what the Lord said. The Lord will take the simple things of the world and confound the wise, won't He? He'll take the weak things of the world and confound the mighty. That's a working of God. That's the way He works. It's what He does. You say, that can't work. You say that can't work to God. And He says, with God, all things are possible. You can take wicked sinners like you and me, save our souls, put us in the church, put His Spirit within us, put us in His church, and use us in a great and mighty way. How can one man be used to write such a large portion of the New Testament scriptures? How can an old fisherman be used to write a couple books of the Bible? Huh? How can another old fisherman be used to write a few books of the Bible? Amen. I'm thinking about John. Right? God, the Lord, He's able, and it's a blessing that the Lord has called us and blessed us with. This is the continued revealing of the kingdom, isn't it? Who knew about the church? Who knew about the church before John the Baptist? They didn't know about the church. It wasn't known. Hey, but John the Baptist is sent of the Lord to preach, to baptize, to teach, to make a people prepared for the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ shows up on the scene. He goes, gets that authorized baptism by God through John the Baptist. And then next thing you know, those that He's called out, those disciples that He said unto them, come follow Me. They're there. They're being used of the Lord and they're baptizing. More are being saved and His church is on the way. It's being built. Who knew about it? The kingdom is being revealed, folks. It's being revealed more and more, and we're in the midst of that privilege and calling to do so. To the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, even in the great and great power, things of authority. You know what? The government of the United States. I'm glad to be born in this country, and I'm glad for the form of government that we have. I pray to God He would turn our nation, turn our government, that we might return unto the Lord. But I'm thankful to be born here and be born in this nation, to be a citizen of this nation. With all of our troubles, I'm so thankful to be here and for the freedom that we have. But you know what? In eternity, there won't be any recollection or remembrance of the government of the United States of America. But you know what there will be a remembrance of? The Lord's church and the work that the Lord did at Olmsted Baptist Church. Because in that day, brothers and sisters, we're going to be moving our membership. Amen. But these things that are done for the Lord will remain. The stand taken for the Lord, it will remain. The blessings of the Lord, they will remain. We're sending those forward. And so it's by the church this manifold, this multifaceted wisdom of God is revealed. May the Lord help us. if it ever happens to you, well, I guess we'll load up and we'll go to church. No, don't take that attitude. And when I do, come around there and whop me a good one, okay? Because it's the blessing of the Lord. It's the blessing of the Lord upon us. It is a great and such a wonderful thing linked with eternity. According, verse number 11. Well, let's read verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, even in great places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I think that's what that's saying. It's the church that's going to do this shelling out and this knowledge of this, of the kingdom of God, this manifold wisdom of God. It's by the church that it's going to be proclaimed. It's by the church that it's going to be told. We're given that commission according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is not an afterthought, is it? This is what the Lord planned to do. This was in his mind and in his heart, if you will, from the beginning. He knew that. And you know what? He's brought it to pass. Amen? He's brought it to pass. Indeed, he has. He said, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, and a reminder, in whom we have boldness. Boldness. You can go tell somebody the truth about what God has done in his church and saving your soul, and you see in the necessity of baptism and following the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism and thereby joining the Lord's church. You can tell people and know that it's backed up by God. It's the Lord's way. You don't have to be timid. Well, I'm a member of one of the Lord's churches over here, and we try to do a humble work. Now you tell them it's... The Lord has got his church and got a place for service. There's a purpose of it, and he reveals it in the Word. People don't have a clue today out here in the world what the church is even about. It's just a good time club. It takes the place for many of the Kiwanis and some meeting outfit that they might have where they get together once a week and do some kind of thing. But it's way different than that, isn't it? We enjoy some fellowship in it, don't we? And we should. That's part of the blessing of it. But it's the Lord's, what he has given us in this sermon, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. You see that? Boldness with and access with confidence by the faith of him. He's done it for us, put us in his church, saved our souls, put us in his church. And we don't have to cower back up. We don't need to be belligerent or mean-spirited anything like that, but we can have confidence in the Lord and what he's done, what he's promised, and how he's brought it to pass. I think of this in Hebrews, and you're familiar with this in Hebrews chapter 4. Take a look here real quick. Hold your finger here at Ephesians, and take a look over here in Hebrews 4. It reminds me of this passage talking about prayer, and I believe that's part of what's here, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. It's the Lord's doing. It's the Lord's work. He's used us to do it, okay? And here in the chapter, Hebrews chapter 4, speaking of this great high priest who went in once and offered himself, amen, and is there at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And in verse number 15 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord knows what it is to be discouraged. The Lord knows what it is for his friends to leave him. The Lord knows what it is for his family to leave him. The Lord knows what it is for even his disciples and his church to leave him. He knows what that's like. Okay? So he understands, and we can go to him and we can be honest, said, Lord, I'm down in the dumps today, and this thing going on here with this or that or the other, that's got me down. Lord, help me that I might be encouraged in you. Because the Lord's the only thing, he's the only one, doesn't change, amen? If we can be encouraged in him, we will be encouraged. And we can go to him, and we can be honest with him. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. That doesn't mean to be cocky or heady or high-minded or that. It means you belong. The Lord says, we can come. We don't have to ask for permission. We're children of the King. Don't have to wait for the scepter to be raised. The Lord says, my door's open all the time. child, son of God, my door, my ear is open all the time. Isn't that great? Isn't that a blessing? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, because we have a lot of times of need. Amen? And we need to be praying a lot, because we got a lot to pray about. So thankful for the prayer classes that we have, the men and the women's prayer classes. And I tell you what, have your children there. Have them in the midst of that they may see men and women of the Lord, how they will go to the Lord and petition. They don't have bashfulness one with another. They'll share their burdens one with another, and they may see how the saints of God go to the Lord collectively. And that, from that, they'll also have an indication of how they go individually and petition the Lord for the things that are needed. Don't be bashful about sharing your burden with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't be bashful in doing it. I've got family on this earth, blood kin, blood that's going around in here. And I love my folks. I love my parents. And they're saved. I'm thankful for that. But you know what? You're the closest family I've got because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're with each other several times a week, lots of weeks in a month, lots of months in the year, aren't we? Amen. If I get in a tight, I know I can call you, and I know you'll come because you love me. And we love one another. And we're kin. Some of us are kin by blood. But many of us are not. But we're kin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't we? Amen. Amen. Boldness and access. Okay. So now the church is being used to do this revealing, this manifold, this multifaceted wisdom of God and working of God in salvation, the spreading of the gospel and salvation and the baptism and church membership, the building of his church, the doctrine of this church, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be praised and honored and glorified, and we can go to him for help in doing those things that he's called us into. We've got access to it. We don't have to ask permission, get an appointment to go to the Lord, to ask him for help. But we can go to him. Verse 13. Wherefore, get ready, the fivefold fullness of God. Okay? Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He said, I've got this stewardship, this dispensation in verse number 2 of this chapter. He says, don't faint at what I go through for you. Okay? This is the Lord working in us, working in me to bring to you what you need, and the way, the working of God. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. He says, don't. He said, I know you love me. I know you care for me. But don't look on at me and say, oh, he goes through so much to come and minister to us, to pray for us. It cost him so much to come here and bring the gospel to us. It's tearing up his life. It's eating him up. He's got wound and injury because of us, and I hate it so that we love him for coming and preaching to us and being used of God, but it's costing him his life. He says, don't worry about it. It's the calling of the Lord upon me. It's the blessing of God upon me. Don't fade at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. It's by that the Lord brought the word to you, that you've been redeemed, that a church has been established. It's the way that it is. As the Lord gave his life, he says, in a sense, so am I willing to give my life for you. It's the Lord's design. It's the Lord's plan. For this cause, he said, for these things, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Okay, there's the family of God. Just a little side note. There's your reference for that. The whole family in heaven and earth. Not the whole church in heaven and earth, but the family in heaven and earth. He said, I bow the knees to the Lord, who has got us all, those that have gone on before and those that remain here. I go to him, I bow my knees to him, I pray unto him, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, the fivefold fullness of God. Number one, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. I want you to be strong inside. I want you to be strong in the inner man. I want you to be resolved and set that you will stand for the Lord no matter what. No matter what, that's what I desire for you. That no matter what comes in that city of Ephesus where you're found there, that stronghold of Satan and that wickedness of that pagan worship of Diana and others, I want you to be strong in the Lord. I pray that God will grant that. And if it takes my life to be used up, that the Lord take that and be a witness to you of what you need, that's what I want. I want you to be full that way, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, the fivefold fullness of God. And that, verse 17, that number two, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I'm relying on the Lord. I'm believing in him. No matter what comes on the outside, I'm trusting him on the inside. From the inside out, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm resting in him. He said it, I believe it. And even though, like Habakkuk said, even though everything I see is just totally against what I would want, I'm keeping my eyes on the Lord. He says, that's what I want for you. I want you to be strengthened. I want Christ to dwell in your hearts by faith. Pardon me, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That's the third part. Rooted and grounded in love. Strengthened with the might and the spirit in the inner man. Number two, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Number three, that you're being rooted and grounded in love. Whose love? The Lord's love for you. Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why should he love me so? Amen. If he gave his life for me, what is it for me to give my life for him? He wasn't guilty. He didn't have it coming. I did, but he didn't. That the love of the Lord for us would constrain us, and that we would be so wondered and so marvel at the Lord's love for us, and that would speak to us continually, and that we would be strengthened by that. That we would be, as it says, rooted and grounded in love. His love for me, my love for him. Will I go against him? Will I go against his way? Will I go against his word? Oh, by his help and grace, I pray that I would not go against him. May the Lord help me to stand. May the Lord help me to be a witness to others. A good witness that the Lord would use. Number three, being rooted and grounded in love. And number four, verse 18, and may be able to comprehend the fivefold fullness of the Lord. Here's part four. And may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. That's four dimensions, folks. How is it that we estimate things? Though the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, that we might be able to comprehend it. Remember, the Lord has chosen to use the church to reveal his manifold wisdom, verse number 10, of God to the world, to even the principalities and powers and heavenly places. And we, as his children, we need to be able to understand it, that we can take our part in doing that revealing. We might understand the way of the Lord, that we might see the big picture that God sees. Amen? That we might see how it is with the kingdom. That we might have that eternal view that the Lord has. That our view and understanding of this life, that we enjoy the blessings of the Lord in this life, but not know that this is not the end. We hold things in their right place. We'd have a right soberness about us, knowing that we're just passing through. Amen. This is not our home. We're sojourners, like Abraham was a sojourner. That's the way it is with us. Hanging on to things, hanging on to things of life, whether it be people, whether it be stuff, whether it be position, whether it be influence, power, money, whatever. You hanging on real tight? Don't hang on with a white knuckle grip. As my pastor used to say and says, hang on loose. All right? Hang on loose. Use it well and use it right. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints. You'd be able to understand it. Isn't it a blessing when the Lord takes a word and he causes you to understand something new for you? It's not new, but it's new for you. Isn't that great? Isn't that a blessing? Doesn't that give us comfort? Can't we rest in that? We enjoy that. That's the Lord's blessing upon us when he shows us things that are new to us, when things are refreshed, when things that maybe we forget. I forget things. If I don't use it, I lose it. And it needs to be refreshed. That we might be able to comprehend. He says that you might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. We're going on vacation, right? Maybe it's you and your family and me and my family. And we're going to go do something we've never done before. I mean, something exciting. I mean, something fun, as we would say. And so we make our plans, and it's way months out there, and we anticipate it, and then we see one another, and we say, oh, I'm looking forward to going, aren't you? And say, oh, yeah, I can't wait, I can't wait. It'll be good, we'll do this, we'll do that. And then as it gets closer, you see this with children, right? As it's getting closer, they say, oh, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. Oh, it's looking good. It's, boy, we're going to have such a good time. And then it's like week before, oh, I can't wait. Boy, it's coming to be there. Next week we'll be there, right? Isn't that the way we do? It's tomorrow. Tomorrow we load up and go. And we're excited. And then the next thing you know, you're there and you're in the midst of it. Say, we're going, we're traveling. Are we there yet? As the brother said, you never get there because when you get there, there is here. That's kind of weird, isn't it? You know, that's the way it is with us. We're going to a better place together, brothers and sisters. And you know what? When we can comprehend it together, isn't it a blessing for us to rejoice in it together? Amen. That we might comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And of this fivefold fullness of God, the fifth part, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I can't get over the fact that in that day, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, that he will claim me. Most important person in the world doesn't know who I am. The most important people that have ever lived, quote unquote, in human estimation, they don't know who Jim Duke is. But the Lord Jesus Christ does, and he will claim me. When the Father would say, son, come here, I've got something for you to do in that new kingdom. When the Lord would say, son, come here, I've got something for you to do in the millennial reign. When he would claim me. To be strengthened, he says, I want the Lord that he would grant you to be strengthened with his might. With might by his spirit in the inner man. Number two, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Number three, that you're being rooted and grounded in love. the Lord's love, love one for another, love for the Word. Number four, and able to comprehend with all saints what this four-dimensional way and revealing of the kingdom is with the Lord. And number five, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Even though they were taking Stephen and they were throwing rocks at him, and as they continued to do that, he would have a knowledge and understanding he was going to die. He believed God. You hear that? As James was taken by Herod and put to death by him, James, John's brother, the apostle, as they took him out and they put him to death, he believed God. He believed him. He rested in him. Even though his knowledge said, I'm going to die. Even though John the Baptist and those things, that terrible, wicked thing that was done regarding him, he said, they're marching me out, or that one's coming with the sword. The executioner's coming. He's going to cut my head off. The love of Christ that passeth all knowledge. Brothers and sisters, that's a vision and an understanding and a blessing of the Lord that's not related to circumstance. But it's related and grounded and settled upon faith in our Savior and Lord and King and our Heavenly Father. And what's he go on to say? A summary in verse number 20. These five things, this fivefold fullness of God, in verse 19, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, a summary. Now unto him, remember, church at Ephesus, remember, brothers and sisters in Christ, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Don't forget that. He can do more than what you and I can think of. He can do more than we can think to ask, according to his power that worketh in us, the Spirit of God living within, the work of the Comforter in his church. We've gone through some things this year, haven't we? And how is it that a minority could end up at this place, having dealt with the things that we've had to deal with and the circumstance situation that's come our way? Huh? How is it that a minority could do that? Because that's what's happened. In my estimation, that's what's happened. But you know, that's what the Lord does when his word's honored. Think about it. Think about it. The Lord has always used a minority. That's part of how he confounds the wise. That's part of how he confounds the strong. But honoring the Lord and his word and abiding by his word and following him in it, he has promised that he'll bless. Now, he have chosen to have done something else. But I believe that. I believe that for our church, in the events that we've gone through this year, that he has done above all that we can ask or think, and his power has worked in us, has worked in his people. Now look what it says here in verse 21, unto him be glory in the church. The church is being used to reveal the kingdom unto even unto principalities and powers in heavenly places. This manifold mystery, this manifold wisdom, multifaceted wisdom of God is being revealed to the world and to men, women, boys, and girls, and even saints that are not in the Lord's church. It's being revealed by the Lord through his church and in ways and in a power and in a strength that's unknown otherwise in this world. Unto him be glory in the church, right? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. It will, if we abide by his word and follow his word, his doctrine, it will be by him. He will honor it. He will use it to accomplish that which he desires. And he says, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know what? You know why he would say that and that's said that way? It's because that's the way the Lord's ordained it to be till he comes. Till he comes. He's going to wrap up the age one day, and a little bit before he does that, he's going to come take his church out by virtue of taking his people out. But until then, it's the church that the Lord uses to do these things. It's the Lord. It's a church that the Lord uses that to reveal his manifold wisdom to the world. And he and the apostle here, and I ask you to consider these verses 16 through 21, and take a look at that yourself in your own time. But this fivefold fullness of God, may the Lord help us that we would desire, and the Lord would grant unto us that we'd be strengthened, and that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, and that we'd be rooted and grounded in love, and number four, that we would comprehend this multidimensional work of God, and that we would know the love of Christ, number five, and be filled with this fullness. There's nothing that you and I can work up that'll encourage us more than that. And may the Lord help us in it.